Hi, everyone. It's Anne here with another episode of The News from Poems, our partnership with Asphodel.info. This week, National Book Critics Circle Award winner Laura Kaziski joins us. She's published 9 books of poetry and 9 novels, 3 of which have been made into films. She's a literary celebrity in France, where her work is adored. And this week, Laura wrote a poem about something that just happened, or almost happened, in her own life.
WTF. I see her just in time, a young woman, a girl, frankly, with her earbuds in. She's one of the many who hasn't bothered to look one way, let alone both ways, before stepping into the street today. I see her just in time to stomp the brakes in order not to kill her. She never knows what didn't hit her. She's wearing a t-shirt with WTF on it. Of course, I know what this stands for. I've texted it to friends. I've said it outright in public, have whispered it, have thought it, written it, been at the center of what it means and what it is. But what I read instead, seeing her t-shirt's 3 letters through my windshield this afternoon, is what's to fear? Because she hasn't bothered to fear today, it seems. Some other time I might have gotten angry, honked my horn, unrolled my window, and shouted something out about suicidal tendencies, childish stupidity. But today I say to her silently instead, may such times continue to slam their brakes for you as you continue on your way. Or at least, may you look up just in time one day to say to yourself something simple like, I've made a regrettable but rectifiable mistake. While the motorcades pass through you without wounding you, the flashing sirens and lights, the patriotic parades, the hearses flapping their miniature flags, the whole vehicular physics of everything slipping through you, waving politely, as if nothing might be the answer to the question you're not asking, what's to fear? As if this could save someone so young and so carefree. I used to be you. So that you, too, might live long enough to be a driver in some distant future, slamming on the brakes, just in time to save some people who weren't paying much attention to the world around them because they didn't think they needed to, people like me and you.
Laura, thank you so much for coming into the studio. And, well, first of all, I'm glad you and the pedestrian are okay.
Yes.
But in the poem, this girl is wearing a t-shirt with the phrase WTF, which is also what you titled the poem.
And
it's just such a common throwaway phrase, but somehow, just by putting it in the poem, you've made it so much more powerful or more significant. That was your intention?
Well, thank you. Yeah, honestly, it was one of those moments where it didn't completely compute when in this particular context with her so close to being run over by me and my seeing that t-shirt and those letters, I did come to the conclusion that WTF could also stand for what's to fear. You know, it seemed strangely carefree for someone who had almost just died, you know, and didn't know it.
So, right.
Or almost ended up in the hospital, at least. I don't know if I would have killed her. I wasn't going that fast, but it could have been bad.
Well, I might be projecting this into the poem because I know that you often like working with fairy tale elements, that those are things that you've drawn on in the past. And so there's a way in which this girl for me became not just an annoying college girl walking down a too busy street in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She became like Red Riding Hood walking blithely through the forest and not paying attention to the big wolf that was hiding behind the trees.
I like that. Yeah, I like her archetypal potential there. I'm just attracted to that kind of stuff. I find it particularly applicable, I think, to female experience.
Why is that particularly applicable to female experience?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly read fairy tales to my son, but I don't think they cast the same kind of spell on him as a little boy as they did on me as a little girl with witches and princesses and evil queens and stepmothers and just all the maternal stuff and the daughter stuff, you know?
maybe those are some of the oldest stories that we read when we're really young, in which girls and women have powerful roles to play.
Right. Or they have messages they're sending. I mean, think of Little Red Riding Hood, all the warnings that are contained for girls in that story. I mean, you don't go off the path. You don't go with the wolf. If you do, what you really are going to need is some man with an axe to chop open the wolf so you can get out again. There's a lot of, I don't know, I think it's got a lot to do with girlhood and has a lot of messages for girls in that story.
Well, I love in this poem that at the heart of it, it feels to me, is this adult woman looking at this young girl, you know, on the cusp of adulthood who's not paying attention. And my association as a mother of a 21-year-old daughter is how you both want your child to feel carefree and fearless,
mm-hmm.
but you're also terrified for them.
I have a 21-year-old son. So, I mean, I think about that a lot. And also, oddly enough, I teach college now on the same college campus where I was once a young woman. So I see versions of myself. And because my son is 21 and that my students are in that same age range, I have very maternal feelings towards a lot of the students. So this is a time when I'm just much more aware of, you know, political, military, world events, terrorists, you know, potential catastrophes at every turn. And I'm just aware of that. And, you know, and as you just said, I mean, at the same time that I appreciate the talk and the activism and everything, what I really want is for people like my students and my son to be able to live comfortable lives.
Right.
I know that that's a first world attitude, but I have hope for them for that they can, you know, keep thinking WTF. And what's to fear? And not have anything to fear.
And I think that's any parent anywhere's desire for their child, though, is, you know, may the terrible events of their time somehow pass over their child.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you also about the settings of your poems. You know, you write these poems that kind of take, in some ways, ordinary moments and settings, like this one. You know, it's a crosswalk. What's behind wanting to write poetry out of these everyday kind of settings?
Well, I only have so much to work with. I'm in a domestic situation in the Midwest where I live. You know, I've been a mom. I drive around a lot. I do live outside of Ann Arbor, sort of in a suburban setting, I guess. But I also, I guess I feel that it's fun or an interesting challenge to try to make things that are real ordinary have kind of mythical dimensions. But also, I just think that there's just inherently in everything, all the ordinary things that we do, there's all kinds of weirdnesses and, you know, life in general is pretty odd. That, you know, when you really start to think about it, I often think about there's a writer who his name is Richard Grossinger, and he lives in California, and he writes kind of new agey books, but he also writes about astronomy and anthropology. And he was writing a book, I guess, about people who believe that they've been abducted by aliens. Mm-hmm. And so he went to, in Hamtramck here in Michigan, he went to a meeting in the basement of a bank that he had read about in the newspaper or something, being called for people who had been abductees or believed that they had been abducted by aliens. So anyway, but I guess he got to the meeting and the person leading the meeting said that they were very honored. I mean, I guess there were a lot of people there. And the leader of the meeting said that they were very honored that they had a visitor from Saturn in the audience. And then he said that he looked around and suddenly everyone looked like a candidate. Like anybody could have been, any one of the people there could have been, you know, the aliens among us, the, you know, space person. And sometimes I think that, you know, it's like look around at the bank or something, just realize how strange everything is.
So that's what I love about your poetry. You do that. And whether it's, you know, suddenly for a split second, you can see how weird and space alien like everybody is, or, you know, that we're all we could all just as well be characters in fairy tales. It's something about seeing the possibility for the mythic in ordinary everyday life.
Thank you. Well, there was a movement for a little while in England, I guess, in the 60s, a poet, Craig Rainey or Rain, who it was Martian poetry, and people were writing Martian poems.
Looking really?
You can Wikipedia it. I showed it to my students recently, people writing poems about the world from the point of view of Martians.
What do Martians think about us or about the world?
Well, he has a really good poem. No, I'm sorry, I can't remember the title of it right now, but in which Martians are looking at people who are holding books in their hands, and the books are described as like magical birds that seem to be speaking to the people through their eyes. And then at night, they curl together in pairs and watch movies with their eyes closed, which is a way of suggesting dreaming from the point of view of a Martian who wouldn't know what a dream was, I guess. I guess Martians don't have dreams or something. So
you do make me want to spend at least 15 minutes in the next staff meeting imagining that everybody on our staff is a Martian.
Yes. Yeah. Or which there was only one. You have to look around and figure out which one it is.
So this was so much fun, Laura. Thank you so much for talking.
Thank you so much.
Laura Kosciski has published 9 books of poetry and 9 novels. 3 of them have been made into films. She won the National Book Critics Circle Award in Poetry for her collection Space in Chains. Her most recent book of poems is called The Infinitesimals. And the poem she wrote for us is called WTF. You can read it on our website at ttbook.org. The News from Poems is our partnership with the poetry website asphodel.info. And next week, we'll hear from inaugural poet Richard Blanco. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI.
PRI, Public Radio International.